So hello, welcome to Bereavement UK podcast. Very fortunate today to have with us Psychic Mike, who is a medium. Mike works in and around Bedfordshire.
Yes.
Welcome, Mike.
Thank you.
And I'm looking forward to just finding out a little bit more about what you do and what sort of people come to you and what sort of things. If you've got any sort of little stories you're happy to,
sure,
share with us.
So, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about how you started being a medium.
Well, how it all started was I've always been very open, I would say, to people's emotions and thoughts and feelings. And even when I was quite young, the first thing that happened was when I was possibly around about 9, 10 years of age. And I was listening to Paul Young, funnily enough, on a little tape deck, and mum and dad watching it. Regular news and weather that was on at the time, and I was all nice and relaxed. I think I'd just finished doing some school homework, and I looked up at the TV and the newsreader's face changed and startled me. Couldn't quite understand what I was seeing, because he was literally completely different to the newsreader that you was usually seeing. And I asked my mother and father at the time, you know, what was this I was seeing. Of course, you know, neither of them could really understand, and just poo-pooed it, you know, just passed it over. And but then went through quite a lot of situations where, you know, I'd know when people were not telling me the truth. You know, so with friends, not so much family members, but more around friendships and things like that, I would know that people were just not being honest. They would say things like, oh, no, I'm not going out tonight, or I'm not going out today. But I'd know that a certain person was going around to a certain friend's house. And I'd literally, and it came to the point where I'd start saying to them, but I know you're lying to me, and I know that you're going to blah, blah, blah's house. And then people would start, that would cause me a little bit of bother, because of course it was true. They would then want to know who had told me and how I knew it.
And I
didn't know. I just know, you know, that's all I knew. And and I think I was just very sensitive, always felt like I was different, you know, always just felt like I was a bit of an older soul. I never quite had loads of different friends and, like, you know, everybody else, but I just really felt like I was different. I was always a bit different to other children at school and things like that. And just a little bit more susceptible to people's emotions, really. And then when I was about 17, 18, I was with a group of friends and we went for a reading. It was a Gypsy Rosalie, and we went to have this reading, and this gypsy said to me at the time, you know what I'm talking about. And I kind of said, well, do I? And she said, oh yeah, you really do. You're possibly one of the most powerful psychics I've ever met. And I thought,
wow,
well, hang on a minute, I'm 17, 18 years of age, I've been out for a few drinks with my friends now and then, you know, and I'm a lad, I've just bought my first car, you know, and I'm dating girls and things like that. So what do you mean, you know? And she said, you'll find out, you'll know. And of course, then when I went home, I remember saying to my mum about what had happened, and my sister was there, and the both of them said to me at the time, well, we wondered when you'd find out. So of course, at the time I thought to myself, well, how did you know something that I didn't know? And what do you mean you knew when I'd find out? And mum said, well, we've always known that you were different, you know, because of things that you used to say when you was younger. And that. Well, what did I say? You know, of course they couldn't remember specifics, but it was just, look, you're different and that's it, you know. Anyway, and then she said to me, the medium said to me, the psychic said to me, that you'll go through something spiritually in your life and it will all open up, and you'll later on in life, possibly in your 30s, this is when, you know, you'll discover it and it will come about. And and then I had a repeat dislocation of the shoulder. And I had to have an operation, so to correct it. And part of that operation, afterwards I was told I was never going to be able to play any sports, play tennis, do any physical activity. And I thought, well, I'm going to prove them wrong, you know. So I took up martial arts and Shaolin Kung Fu. And then I learned meditation, Tai Chi, pushing energy around the body, which was the Chi, the life force energy. Some call it Chi, there's various different names for it. And I could literally feel this energy moving around the body, as you can with Chi. And this developed over a period of about 3 years. But literally within 6 months, I had complete movement of my arm. There was no damage to it. There was no,
wow.
I wasn't being held back or anything, you know, and had full strength and power, which I felt was because of this movement, the chi, the exercise, you know, it was all helping me. So, and just really stayed with the martial arts for a while. And that was kind of, then I got very much into Taoism, you know, which is the, and Zen Buddhism. Very much got into those kind of belief systems, and I was brought up as a Catholic, you know, and so I always had that Catholic.
Did your parents mind that? Did they?
My dad thought I'd gone completely bonkers at the time, but my mum was very much into more of the. She was a Catholic as well, but she was very much more into like the Buddhism ways and the life's a bit more of an experience, and she was a bit more freeform than dad, you know, but dad was very sort of devout, you know, and strong.
So she didn't encourage you or discourage you, really. She was just saying she'd noticed that you were different.
Yeah, yeah, neither of them.
And was happy to go along with it until you noticed it for yourself.
Yeah, they both kind of just allow me to explore, I think. As long as I was happy, that was the main thing. Mm. They were just happy that I was happy and that I was recovering and things like that, you know. So, and they you know, just me and my brother were doing the martial arts and they enjoyed that, you know, that was good for us. But then I think it was when I got to about 28, 29, and I'd been doing martial arts, various different forms of martial arts then, because I got involved with Jeet Kune Do and very much more some of the more, the Bruce Lee style of martial arts and started studying those. And met some very spiritual people, Danny Nasanto, and some very inspirational kind of guru type of people. And it kind of just blew my mind a little bit, opened up my mind to other realms of what was going on. I was always very interested in kind of ancient knowledge, you know, where we came from, that kind of thing. Things like Mayan culture, going back to Egyptology, reading about, you know, things of the Sphinx and about the past and kind of like some esoteric knowledge as well, because Taoism and Confucianism takes you down that route, you know. So with books like the Tao Te Ching, so I kind of followed that area, and then this question just kept coming up into my mind that I need to study more, I need to open up my own mind more, I need to open up, you know, because I'd read about the third eye. And everywhere I went, it was like doors closed. People would say, oh, no, we're a closed circle. You know, you can't join us because we're a closed circle. And I kept thinking, what's all this nonsense about closed circles?
So is it like that? A bit like the Magician's Union type?
Yeah, it's a little bit like the...
Circle,
yeah, there was these little groups, you know, of people. And it's like, knock, knock, well, I really want to come in. And these were just people I was meeting through work or whatever, or socialising. And... it was weird. It was like, well, they're a secret club that I can't get into. Why is that? Have I not got a certain handshake or something? What's going on? So, and then eventually I came to a very big changing time in life where the whole career that I'd been following, I was suddenly kind of going through a change where I was sort of transferred over to a new company and still doing the design work that I was doing. But it,
so you were a designer?
I was a designer, yeah, an interior designer. And for big business and so like blue chip companies. But then it got to the point where I knew there was something else. There was something else I needed to be doing. I wasn't following my path. I just intuitively knew it.
But you were a creative. Because you find, I'm finding this, the more people that I meet who are creative, the more sensitive they are to things.
True.
It goes hand in hand.
Whether it's because we use that side of the brain, or whether it's just because we're a little bit more in touch with our emotions, or to allow us to be creative, because creative types are very much more the emotional types, you know. So... yeah, it kind of opened me up really into that realm. And then just thinking back, what happened then was I just by a chance, I went for a reading, and it was the second reading that I'd ever had in my life. And by this time I was 33 and still been on a big journey. You know, I'd read loads of books, been gathering together lots of knowledge, but still didn't feel like there was a lot of life's questions were still, they were still kind of unanswered, you know, which I suppose there are at that kind of age. But I was satisfied with some of the knowledge I was gaining, but I knew there was more. There was more about an internal self-discovery that I wasn't quite getting, and I didn't quite know where to go. And then, like I say, there was big changes happening with the work situation. So I just felt that this was a big kind of fork in the road for me. It's like, right, where do I go? You know, because I knew this certain avenue was closing. do I still carry on and push hard to stay through this avenue, or where do I go? So I was a bit lost. So there was an advert in the local newspaper, saw that there were some readings available in this, I think it was in Milton Keynes, and went over there and literally chose this one lady who wanted to have a reading with her. There was probably about 8 or 9 readers in this room, and it was like an open evening, and I sat down with her. The first thing she said to me was, "Oh my God, you're this unbelievable psychic and you don't know it yet." And I thought, well, hang on, this is the second time it's been said to me. There must be something with it. So I said, well, what do you mean? You know, anyway, then she explained to me about what's happening with my work and what's happening in my life at that time and what I've been going through and things. I thought, wow, this is fantastic. You know, it's so true. How could she know all of this about me? Anyway, and then she repeated again about this, you know, you have this ability and you've not, you know, you've not relinquished it. You've not kind of opened it yet. And I said, well, yeah, but I don't know how to. And she said, well, I'll teach you. And I said, oh, okay, fine, how? And he said, well, you know, come over to my place one Saturday. I'll get together a gathering of people and you'll come along and study. And literally it was that she said, you know, you can't say how long it's going to take to learn, but, you know, just come along and see what happens. Of course, because I knew how to meditate and I'd been doing Zen meditation for quite, you know, many, many years. So I knew how to focus on meditation. But what she taught me was how to open up my chakras. And that's something that I used my focus of visualization to do. So I opened up all of the chakras. Then we learned the white light meditation, which is bringing in the energy from the universe and it cleanses you. And found it really amazing doing it. But as soon as that happened and opened up my crown chakra, it was like that. It was almost like the universe was opened up to me. It's really strange. It's like suddenly I knew stuff, you know, and I knew, for example, that the girl who was sitting next to me had broken down on the way there, and but it was okay because her brother was going to help her. And I saw this brother of hers in like this mechanic's outfit and said, you know, he was there at the side of the road and he was moaning because it was raining and blah blah blah. And she said, well, that's exactly what happened on the way here. My car
broke
down.
Were you pleased? Was it a bit scary?
I was kind of, I was pleased because it was, wow, I've got this new ability. It's like you've got this new superpower, you know. It's like, wow, this is great, you know. But at the same time, it was just, yeah, what do I really do with it? But it just kind of came on so naturally. And then so it didn't really faze me too much at all. I think I'm a typical Aries, you know. It's just a case of, wow, this is great. Let's see where this one goes, you know. So I wasn't really scared by it. I think being an Aries, I'm not necessarily scared by things, you know. I'm more interested and challenged by things and want to investigate. Yeah, really curious. I really want to investigate stuff. So with that, I just thought, wow, this is interesting. Well, I'll investigate it, you know. And some more happened on that day. That was the last time I saw her. That was the last time I went there. I never went there any longer. And then I changed my work in life, and I went I started to help people. I wanted to work more in helping people side of things. So I worked for a charity looking after people with learning disabilities. I took a huge pay cut, huge salary cut, changed my life, you know, drastically. Then I found my wife was pregnant. I thought, oh my crikey, you know, what's going to happen here? Should I go back to the old realms? You know, it's that fear, that fight or flight moment. Should I go back into that life again, or shall I stay with this world? And something was just telling me internally, no, stay with it, stay with it. Everything will be okay. And it was that, it was almost like an internal voice saying, you will always be looked after. You know, you'll have bread on the table, your bills will be paid, but you'll probably never be a millionaire. You know, you'll never really be rich, but you'll be rich in other ways, you know. And
but
I just...
We say that, don't we? I often think that. It's not about necessarily money
wealth
that you're rich in.
Yeah.
You know, if you look around you and you're fortunate to have friends and
and
you know, in a life
and love what
that
you do.
Yeah,
I think that's the thing. If you feel like you're offering a service and you love what you do and you feel like you're offering something of benefit to people, then to me that's, you know, whether it's, you know, you're a really good plumber, you know, or whether you're a really good plasterer or whatever. I mean, as long as you're offering a really good service to someone, I think that that's so important, you know. So to me, it was lovely that I was offering a service.
And sometimes, I think I shared with you in one of our conversations before that, you know, you can have an experience with another person. I'm not talking about a psychic experience. I'm just talking about that you've done something I'm thinking back to a family I worked with. Yeah. I think I told you, you do something yes. for them.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know that your presence with them made a difference.
Yes.
And it's not in a conceited way that no. you say that, but the reward for you is huge because you know
yeah.
it validates you that actually I've done this thing yeah. and I've yeah. helped someone.
You've empowered someone's life. You've and changed their
without
life.
Without me there,
the
they
better.
May not have had
exactly that,
that
and experience.
It's a fantastic feeling. You oh. can't buy that.
No, you can't. No. And also it makes you feel like there is a purpose to everything.
Yeah.
You know, even though we go through these really hard times and these really difficult, almost gut-churning times mm. sometimes, when you come out the other end of it, you've gained knowledge. You've learned, you've kind of developed in some way and you kind of evolved, you've evolved. Something's happened, mm. you know, and I truly believe it's like your molecular structure has changed, your DNA's shifted, mm. you know, something has changed inside of us that suddenly it's like, whoa, okay, I mean, there's something new. Here. Mm. And so I, you know, that's really why I kind of now when I moved from doing the more service as in design service and then moved into the service helping people with learning disabilities, but I just felt like I was kind of a bit kind of cornered. It's like I was a bit mm. shoved off into the corner and my purpose, funny enough, my purpose was there because I helped a situation that occurred there. And if I hadn't have whistleblown, then maybe things wouldn't have gone as well as what they did. So I feel like my time was there for a reason. And mm. then with certain things happening, I felt like I really needed to get out of that environment. You know, mm. it wasn't healthy for me, you know. So, and I literally, you know, looked up at the sky and said, you know, for goodness sake, help me. You know, can you please get me out of this situation? Where do I go now? And I literally did feel like my life had kind of come to that point where, crikey, well, my old career's gone. You know, mm-hmm. I could go back into it, but I didn't really feel like it was the right thing for me to do. This kind of area, it was the right place for me to be because I really wanted to help people, but it maybe wasn't the right environment. So, right, where do I go now? So that's when I really said, look, come on, I need some guidance here. What's happening? And I went home and said to my wife and said, look, you know, I think I've had it. I don't think I can go back and work here anymore. But I've got to because we've got to pay for the bills. My son had been born then. And she said, well, look in the newspaper, you know. And this was back in 2004. So it's the time where, you know, we still had the local newspaper coming through. And there was just this small ad and it said, you're psychic and we know you are. And there was a telephone number to ring. I
thought, wow.
A bit strange.
Wow.
So I was kind of a bit, this is a scam, you know. So I left it. My wife kept on at me, you know, through the week and kept saying, Mike, you've got a phone. And eventually I did, you know. And I phoned and they said, yes, we're a psychic company and we need to give you a test reading. Can you work for us? And I said, well, yeah, I'm available to work, but... what do you mean a test reading? And the lady said, well, we'll have someone phone you up the next day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they will basically give you a test reading. I thought, crikey, I've never done this. I've never given anyone a reading. I don't know what to do, but okay, fine, I just go with it. You know, typical areas again, I just go with it. So I was in the shower getting, you know, having a nice shower in the afternoon. All of a sudden the phone went and my wife said, Mike, it's them phoning you up for the test reading. I said, oh my God. So I put a towel around myself. I sat in the hall on the telephone with my towel around me and it was this lady and she said, oh, blah, 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 from this psychic company and, you know, we'd like to give you a test reading and, you know, just fire away. Just tell me what you see. And I do this thing, which is, it's kind of explained as remote viewing and I look, it's almost like I look down a tube, I look down a tunnel and it's my third eye. So I open up the third eye and I just view forwards and I just looked down this little tube, this little tunnel, and suddenly it opened up and I saw this map of Australia. And then I zoomed into the map of Australia and I zoomed into this it was Melbourne, and I zoomed into Melbourne, zoomed into this garden, and all I saw was this man, tall, slim, dark-haired male, standing out the side of this. There was this house with this pool and there was these children playing, and it was like I was watching a film, like I was watching a video. And I saw this gate, this ringed fence. It was fairly low fence, a white fence, going all the way around the perimeter. And he was standing outside of this fence, looking down. And the image of him looking down made me feel like he was reflective and he was upset. And I saw this family playing. And I thought, well, he's obviously upset about this family. So I explained this to this woman. I said, well, there's this guy, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then I just saw the word brother. So I said, well, I'm seeing brother. And the phone call, it's like I've got this phone being picked up. So, you know, something about phone calls, or you need to phone him, or he's phoning you, or something like this about his situation. She said, oh, my crikey. I said, what? She said, well, my brother lives in Australia, in Melbourne, and his family he's fallen out basically with his family, and they're all having pool parties, now having barbecues, wow. And all the rest of the family are coming around,
wow.
And he's not invited, and he wants me to phone up and organise it and sort it all out for him. And she said, well, when can you start? You know, so that was my opening up, first of all, to the kind of psychic world with me giving readings. And it's just kind of really gone on from there. So
I suppose I get concerned about those ones, because you see them in the backs of magazines, yeah. Don't you? And it's going to cost you a pound a minute or whatever, yeah. It is. And I kind of think, from a personal perspective, that could cost you a lot of money if, yep. You're very desperate.
Yeah.
I'll probably say it might be better to go and see someone and, yeah. Have a sitting than, yep. Do that. But it's a personal choice.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I say as well, and I don't know if you get a lot of bereaved people, but obviously, yeah. my job is to be impartial, not to have,
yeah.
A particular view. But sometimes, you know, people are so sad, they're so lost, their loved one has gone, in whatever circumstances, and they just, they're searching, they're trying to make some meaning of it. They'll say to me or to Tanya, do you, yeah. Think I might go and see, I might go to the spiritualist church, or I might go and see a medium.
Yeah.
And I suppose my next question to them then is, and then what? You know, you get your one reading. Mm. Does it ever happen that people can become addicted to it because they just want to keep the, yeah. Contact? Or is it so reassuring for people that when they get that message, they can put it away and move on?
I purely feel it depends on that person, and it also depends on the reader, and it depends on the service that reader's giving. I mean, I know.
Sorry, just to ask you, do you often get bereaved people coming for contact on the other side?
Yeah, I mean, I definitely get it. I get it more, I'd say, on the phone. I do. More of my mediumship ability, I would say, I use on the phone lines than I do on a one-to-one. I've done it on a one-to-one service, but I don't tend to... I'm very nervous of the mediumistic side myself, and I prefer the more psychic, clairvoyant, empowering...
What's the difference there? What's the difference between a medium and a clairvoyant and a psychic?
To me, right, okay, with clairvoyant, what happens is we see visions. So we see things like I explained to you, that vision of that's all clairvoyancy, because it's called clear viewing. That's where the clairvoyancy... It's clear viewing. So it's using your third eye to see. And so if somebody... Now, where my more remote viewing comes into it, if somebody gives me a target, i.e. it might be a name, might be a specific place, it might be a job, might be a company, they'll give me a target point and I'll go off and I'll view that. So I'll view that and I'll bring back information and I'll tell them about what I see. Okay,
wow.
So that'll be information. I might get specifics, so I might get logos, or I might get a person's... I'm pretty useless with names, to be honest, but I'm useless with names in normal life. I mean, you could tell me your name 5 minutes later, I've forgotten it, you know.
It's Alex.
Okay, thanks. You know, it's terrible. I'm terrible with names. You'll probably need to tell me 10 times and then I'll remember, you know. I'm great with numbers, but I'm absolutely terrible with names. Anyway, so with...
What was the clairvoyance?
The clairvoyance side of things is more to do with the clear viewing. So to me, that's linked to my remote viewing. And the psychic side, because psychic's more of an awareness, you know.
Is that seeing something in the future?
Psychic's more knowing. It's more like, you know. So I know when people are lying to me.
Mm.
I know if people are going to do something that's not quite right. You know, that kind of thing. And I can psychically link into people. If, you know, because obviously there's ethics involved. For me, some there's not. But for me, I do use ethics, you know. So I will only look at certain things. If certain people ask me about certain things, I don't want to look. So there's certain information that I just won't know. You don't know everything because you're psychic or clairvoyant. The mediumistic side is more to do with energies who are passed over.
Mm.
And to me, I don't tend to, I see energy as a little bit like the quantum energy to a degree. I see it more in the physics, the quantum physics. It's particles, and energy is electricity. So when we pass over, to me, I see it as an ending of an energy within your body, but the energy doesn't end. It's still there. It's out in the ether, in the world, in the universe. It's there in space and time. So whether that energy is thought patterns, whether that energy is consciousness, I'm not 100% sure, because there's loads of questions around that area. You know, to me, I do, with a lot of the information that I've seen, I'll give you an example. There was a lady who phoned me up a few years ago, and her father had passed over. And all I could see was him. It was funny, I got an image of him in the hallway by this desk, and his desk was all in bits. It was like being put together. And then I had this computer. Then I suddenly saw the phone line. Then I was in the phone line and travelling at this fast rate of knots, and I just saw all of blue colours flashing past me. And it's like I was looking through this spirit's eyes, this person's eyes. I saw all of this energy rushing past me, and all I got was this image of this smiling face and him being extremely happy, because all he had was all of this knowledge. He had all of this energy and knowledge that he was getting from this phone line. It was really strange. And anyway, she was stunned, and I didn't understand the information myself. I didn't know why I saw this, but she said, it was my father who passed away, and the one thing he really wanted was to be connected to the internet. And we'd bought him the computer, and we bought him the desk, and we put it in the hallway, but we didn't have time to put it together before he passed away. And but what he was showing me was that it's okay, I'm there, I'm in the internet. You know, so it was his consciousness and his energy of traveling the airways of the internet. And he was so excited and happy. But that was just that simple message. That's all he wanted to say. There was nothing grandeur or kind of, you know, life changing or anything. It was just that message, you know. And sorry, you was going to ask a question.
Oh, I was just going to ask you, because I think I remember you saying that you'd done some sort of counselling as well. So you are used to working with people. So I just was going to ask you that if someone came, so that lady came and she got that message from her dad, and was that enough, or would she come back? And when would you think that?
Well,
this
I never
is
heard from her again.
No.
So
you see, that's the thing. A lot of people say actually, once you've got the message, you just need to know that there is something, and it's enough.
Yeah.
And then I'm intrigued about what stops people. But then I suppose if people kept coming back, would you, because you are a very caring soul, would you then be concerned for them as well? And kind of.
Oh, yeah. I'd kind of, because I'm very big on empowerment. I'm very big on, you know, non-addiction, things like this, because I feel that anything to do with fear, addiction, it doesn't allow us to live our lives. It doesn't allow us to kind of move on through life, and that's what we need. If you need some information and help and assistance, because knowledge is power. So if I can be that person who can give you some knowledge or information that helps you to move on, then fantastic. The thing is some people, we're all different, you know, and some people will need to be not just told once, but told twice or told three times. And then, like me with names, you know, I need to be told a few times before I get the name. Some people need to know a certain bit of information where they will then get it. But you see, sometimes it's only through their personal experience that they will then get that knowledge. So in my experience, I've seen people phone or connect to psychics because they want to know an answer. They want to know an answer about something, you know.
And they might go back at regular intervals throughout their lives. But yeah. I suppose I'm more thinking about somebody who's newly bereaved, who might be listening to this, who is thinking, I've just got to know that they're okay. And it's an individual decision to do it. And then they go, and I suppose my only concern is then where, you know, when somebody's so vulnerable and there are people who do exploit it, don't they?
Well, I know. Well, there's people that exploit everything in life. But that's the thing. I mean, you may all get an elderly person that you read or you see on the telly many times of, you know, a dodgy builder going around and charging them £45,000 for changing a bath tap, you know. It's this kind of thing. Exploitation is out there. And
so how do you know if you're going to get a... I mean, you are such a nice man and very genuine, Mike. And you know, we've had conversations before. Yeah. But how do we know? So we're out there, we're looking for a medium. How do we know which one or where to go for our
I think
medium?
People have got to go for their intuition and you know, because we're all intuitive. I mean, we come from the animal kingdom, you know, so we have intuition in our souls. I wouldn't second guess myself. So if you're going to a medium and you don't like what that medium's saying, or you feel like there's any negative connotations, or you don't like the image of that person, for example, you just don't get drawn to them, you know, then you're not really going to sit down with them and, you know, have a meal with them, for goodness sake. You know, you're not going to feel like you really want to share with that person, or you really feel... You've got to go for that intuition. And I would say...
Could you say that? Could you actually sit down? When I've gone to... there's been a few that I've had a look at just going around, you know, in pubs and things. You can go to a psychic night.
Yeah.
Can you actually, if you go to a medium and then the lady says, or the man says, right, you're going to that one over there. If you don't like the look of that one, could you say, actually, that one's not for me?
Yeah, totally.
If you just felt that.
Oh, yeah, crikey. Never get told which one to go to. You've got to use your own judgment. I would definitely say the way to do it would be, if you're going to a room where there are, several people that are going to be putting on a show, say, and you need to be in that room for a little while, and you need to be looking around and watching and seeing them and see what you read from their energy. Mm. Because, like I say, we're all perceptive. Women are extremely perceptive. You know, men are more perceptive than we like to admit. You know, some men think that we're rather closed off, but men are perceptive as well. And I just feel that we need to be a little bit more empowered to kind of look around and say, And even if you look around and you think, well, I don't like this one, or that one seems a bit showy to me, or that one seems a bit disingenuous, or I don't like the way that person's kind of acting, or the way that person's voice is, or something, you have to go with it. And if nobody fits you that evening, don't have a reading, you know, don't
sit
down.
If you've got all, you know, you've got yourself all ready,
yeah,
not feeling great because you're newly bereaved, you're not feeling all that wonderful, but you're going to go and see someone and you're really hoping that X is going to come through, and you sit with the person and you don't get what you want. How do you manage that? Or how would you explain that to someone that, you know, if they've come for reading and their belief is that there is something after this life and they want the contact, why has that person not come through? That's a really tricky question for you. I know it's a hard one to answer, but you know, you're here and you're a medium.
It's not really that difficult, because I mean, it's happened to me, you know, it's happened to me on many occasions where I may well pick up three or four different energies, and because I'm a caring person, I like to know from the customer, the client, that, you know, are you okay with this? And it's like, well, yeah, but I really wanted Bernard to come through, you know. And it's like, now I will go off and look. I will then go off, and if somebody gives me a target, like on my psychic side, I will go off and look, and I will go, and it's almost like knocking on a door to see if anybody's there. Mm. Now, at that time, if they give me a specific, I will sometimes be able to pick up the energy of that person, or may well be able to get some explanations of them. I'll maybe be able to explain what they look like or what their energies are. But sometimes it just won't happen. You know, you just can't get that coming through. And if there's no connection, so for example, if somebody's come for a mediumistic reading and they specifically say, look, I'm here for a mediumistic reading, can you see who's out there? You know, and I as a medium cannot connect to anybody, or there's nobody that I can connect to that makes sense to them, then of course that's reading over. And that should be, you know, within the first couple of minutes, you should really see whether there's not going to be a connection, and that person doesn't get charged, that person... Do you see what I mean? It's got to be, this is where I say ethics comes into it. You don't say, well, I'm sorry, but, you know, you came along and I can't supply the service to you. So, you know, you've still got to charge, you know, I've still got to charge you, kind of thing. You can't do that. That's not the right way to be. But at the same time, it's difficult because it's not as specific as an ordering service. It's not like ordering a takeaway meal and, you know, and you get a little bit of this, you get a little bit of that, but your dim sum hasn't come with a meal, for example. You know, it's hard because it's not quite that ordering service where you can get the specifics of exactly what you want to hear, for example. And I don't tend to be in the realms of telling people what I want to hear. I just tell people what I see. Mm-hmm. And if I've got a connection, and if there's a connection coming through and I have that energy for them, I will let them know exactly. But if they're looking to find out where a certain key stashed or something, I might not necessarily know that information. But we should always make some kind of a connection for someone, definitely. But if it's not happening, that's for them and the medium to say, I'm sorry, this is not working, you know, I'm going to step back, you know. And that should happen. That shouldn't take half an hour. That should take a couple of minutes. You should know. As the medium, you should know there's not a connection. And as the person who's having the reading done, they should also feel that there's not the connection there. They'll just feel like the energy's not there, you know.
And I've also heard people say that at the time the reading didn't mean as much as in a year later or a few months
later. True, very true. It happens more often than not. Yeah, yeah. Because at times, I've done this many a time, and I've had people phone me back or come to see me a year or 6 months or 2 years sometimes afterwards, and it's they've said, well, I actually wrote you a bad review, you know, because you told me blah, blah, blah. And I was like, that's never going to happen. In a month of Sundays, that's never going to happen. And I'm really sorry. I've kind of phoned up to apologise because, well, it kind of has. You know, it's been playing on my conscience for the last few months, and it's really happened. I keep thinking, oh, my God, I've got to phone Mike back and let him know it did happen. So, yeah, that kind of thing does occur. And, you know, it's nice at the time. I think a lot of people who go through that circumstance don't let you know, but it's nice that I've had quite a few people over the years who have come back and said that. So,
well, Mike, I really, really, really find you so interesting.
Great, thanks.
And thank you so much for coming in. I hope
no
you'll
problem.
Come in again.
Yeah, definitely.
Later on in the year, we're looking at perhaps October time will be.
Yeah, sure.
You know, for sort of that time, the spiritual sort of time before Christmas.
Yeah,
To do some more. And how can people, if they would like to contact you specifically, do you have a web page or a Facebook page?
It's a Facebook page, which is Psychic Mike. And I also work out of the Crystal House Wellbeing Centre, which is in Heath and Reach. And
in the UK, that's near Leighton Buzzard, Bedfordshire in the UK. But can people email you as well?
People can email me.
Yeah,
people can email me, and they can always, we can have a rapport, and they can request, or we can have a discussion over email. That's no problem at all. And my email address is mike.holistic@gmail.com.
And if you'd like to contact Mike and miss that bit of information, you can obviously replay the podcast, the end bit, or you can have a look on our webpages where we'll be offering a little bit of a write-up about Mike and his contact details. I hope you've enjoyed this podcast, and join us again for another one. So thank you very much for listening in. Bye.
Bye-bye.